The 33rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I want to read just a little bit to you. If you got your Bibles. I made the statement that this year, if the Lord will help me, and I cannot do it unless the Lord helps me, but that if anybody has my affections this year, they're going to have to seek them. Now, it's like somebody come to me today, they say, I perceive that you was saying something spiritual the other night when you said that. I really was. You see, there's a time when the Lord Jesus has his eyes on everybody. He walked with his disciples and his eyes was on everybody and he sought them continually. And then after that, he said, I go away. And where I go, you can't come now, but you can come later. If you seek me, then you'll find me. And there comes a time when the Lord does things a little bit different. And here I've sought the affection of the people, and I've followed after the people and done everything I could to establish a work. And I've had to divide my time between the people and between God to that extent. He caused me to do it. But here on out, I will divide my time with you in that I'll help you. I'll work with you and tell you about Jesus. If you've got an emergency, I'll help you. But as far as seeking your affection, I'm going to be seeking God with all of my affection, as in my early ministry. And if you have any of it, you'll have to seek my affection. Even my wife and children had to seek my affection in my early ministry. I was continually cut off from them, and I intend to be that way again. So if you find me, you'll have to seek me. Jesus said one time, take up your cross and follow me. If you want to follow me, there's a cross. You have to do like the rich young ruler. You have to get rid of all you got. Then you'll have a cross. You really don't have a cross until you get rid of what you've got. But when you do, then you've got a cross. In Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, the first verse, if you got your Bible, you can read with me. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die if he turn from his sin and do what that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committed iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die, none of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall live. Yet the children of thy people say the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and commit iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say that the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his way. Now, we're told here that God will judge every one of us after our way. Every one of us will be judged after our way. You know, there's one thing that God has done. He hath not left us in the condition to blame anybody for our wrong. Did you know that? God has not left us in the condition that we should blame anybody for our wrong. Not one person can I blame for my wrong. If I die in my sins, then I am to blame for it, and no one else is to blame for it. I cannot blame you for my sins, and you cannot blame me for your sins. If I do wickedly, then I'll die as a wicked man. If I do righteously, then I shall live as a righteous man. Now, so then, the Bible said that if we see the sword coming, and we don't sound the trumpet, then the blood of the individual that is taken away from among us, that blood he will require at our hands. Now, we have some people to leave little Bethlehem every once in a while. They go their own way. But there is not a one of them that can stand up and say that I did not sound the trumpet and warn them against their wicked ways. Their blood is upon their own heads because I told them very freely and very boldly of their wicked ways and what God would require of them. So then their blood is not on my hands. Though the devil has taken them out from among us, the Bible said if Satan takes one of them out from among you, if you have not warned them as a watchman, then the blood of that person will be upon you. But I've warned them and I've told them, and it's up to them, and their blood is upon their own head. I warn you, I give you a warning, and I tell you what is to be done. And I expect you to listen to the word of God and to give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. I warn you as a watchman. I warn you, I tell you. I warn you about your wife. I warn you about your children. I warn you about your conduct. I warn you about your unconcern. I warn you about your obligation and duty to God. So that you cannot say to me that I have not warned you. Because with me this is a very serious thing. I am held responsible to God for everything that I tell you. If I tell you wrong, then God will hold me responsible. If I tell you right and then your little child dies because of your iniquity, or Satan grabs one of your little ones out of your arm because you would not do right or make it behave itself or honor God, then you have been warned, and I am not to blame for the iniquity. I am not to blame for the blood that's upon your head. And I am not to blame for the awful temper that you show when you are reproved of God. I am not to blame. You are to blame, and your blood will be upon your own head for it. Now, if you show an ugly spirit, then you are to blame for it, and God will blame you for it in the day of the judgment, and he will require your blood because I warned you and you would not listen. But if the devil takes one out from among us and we have not warned them, then the blood will be upon our own head, upon our hands. Now, I'm trying my best as a minister to go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And I want to love every person. I want to do everything I can for every person. But I want to warn them and tell them of the judgments of God. It's like I told Brother Taylor. I said, Brother Taylor, if you've got a bad child in that school, you work with it and do everything you can. And if that mother or daddy isn't going to work with you and that child isn't going to do right, I said, turn that child out of school. It doesn't matter if the mama gets mad or the dad gets mad or whoever gets mad. I said, you get him out of school before he wrecks everything that we're doing for the children down there. I said, one bad apple will spoil the whole barrel. Get him out.
And that's the way I feel about it here. If I've got somebody here that's too temperamental to listen or too arrogant to go along with the things of God or just ain't going to listen to the things of God, then let me pluck him out and get him out that we might be a new lump, that he won't always be a thorn in my side and interfering with what we're doing. You know, God gave a warning one time, and he said that if you spare any of them, they will be pricks in your side. Did you know that? If you spare any of them, they will be pricks in your side. So, brother and sister, you can be sure I'm not going to spare anybody at Bethlehem. I said the other night, we was talking down there in the men's meeting, if I try to do what's right and you get all upset over your children or you get upset over something I say, you might as well to get ready because I'm going to stick a pin in your balloon. I'm going to bust it if you blow up because I intend to keep this straight to the best of my ability, and your temper and your undercurrent and your half-hearted living ain't going to make me back up and change my mind about it. Now, I love you, and I wouldn't hurt you for nothing, wouldn't hurt your loved ones. But see, I've got a responsibility to God, and that responsibility is if I see the enemy coming, and if I don't warn you that that's the devil that's coming, then your blood is going to be required at my hand. Now, here's the thought right here. See, God tells us that we are going to be punished for our iniquity. We are going to be punished for our iniquity. But see, the way that we look at it, we say, well, we haven't done very bad. What is iniquity anyway? You know, some church people feel like that doing wrong is going out here killing somebody, you know, or stealing from somebody, or holding up a bank or something, you know. Say, well, I'm not a bad person. And so then they feel like they'll go to heaven, you know, because they've never killed anybody. They've never robbed a bank. And they don't think about sin as being something where you sit in the living room and watch whirling. It's out of Hollywood or some show or something that's coming on TV that's worldly. They don't see that as being sin. They don't see sin as going down to the beach, decking out in a bathing suit, and frolicking along with the world. They don't see sin as playing golf and going out to football games and baseball games and things of the world. But that's sin, and that's iniquity, and that's worldliness. And I'm commanded to warn you against those things, that God doesn't let the slayer come and take you away. So then we say, Brother Pike, I haven't done any sin. I haven't done any wrong. I've not killed anybody. I'm not a bad person. Did you know that ministers all over the world have literally killed their congregation? Did you know that? Literally killed their congregation with worldliness because the minister likes to play golf. The minister goes to the ball game. The minister watches the Gay 90 shows. You know why he does that? And I don't mean this wrong. He is a bastard child that's been hatched out of some seminary somewhere that don't know nothing about God. He is part of the world. He was manufactured by the world and hatched out of the hatchery of the world. And it has nothing to do with God. He don't know nothing about God. God never called him to preach. God never sent him to preach. It's something that is a great denominational power where a minister takes this church and a minister takes that church, and they stay with those churches maybe till what we call church changing time, and then they switch about, and then they take another church and switch about and take another church, and they just move them just like chess on a board. They know nothing about God. I've been caught in that out there. I know that's the way it is. A church comes open and you got a better salary, and somebody said, I got a leading to go to this new church. And they did. Mammon led them over there. You understand what I'm saying? So then people will die and go to hell because the watchman did not warn them. But I'm telling you, folks, that worldliness is sin. To be carnally minded is death. Somebody would say, well, I don't see anything wrong with being carnally minded. Well, the Bible said it's death. It's death. Did you know that? Did you know the only carnal things that God accepts is those that can be dedicated to Christ? Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual things, shall I not reap of your carnal things? That is, those things that are sanctified and dedicated to God and useful in this world, that would be referred to as being carnal. God said that those things belong to the saints of God. But those things are the only things that God will accept. You can use carnal things, but you cannot be carnally minded. Have you understand what I'm saying? I can use an automobile that's carnal. I can have a home that's carnal. I can use electric lights that's carnal. But if I be carnally minded, I'll die. If I have a love for the carnal things, then I'll die. I cannot love the carnal things. I cannot have the carnal things in my heart. I cannot have a desire for the carnal things of this world. See, I must be Christ-minded. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. For to be man-minded, to be woman-minded, is to be carnally minded and to be death. Is that right? What a wonderful thought. To think that we can pass from death unto life just simply by not being carnal-minded. By just getting the love of the world out of us. And getting down to real old-time Holy Ghost living. Real Christian holiness living. Isn't that right? I want to ask you a quick question. Can you picture the Holy Ghost being down yonder on the beach somewhere in a human being that's running around in a bathing suit? Can you? Can you picture James, John, and Paul being down there doing that? Can you? Can you picture Paul the Apostle saying to Peter, let's put everything off tonight at church. They got a big game going over yonder. Let's go over there and see the Yankees play. Can you picture Paul doing that? No, you can't. That you can't. Picture the saints of God doing no such. Those people that died at the stake back there, those saints of God, when 3,000 of them was added to the church in one day, can you picture those people putting things of God off and going to some ball game, or can you picture them going to the ball game at all? Now the Bible speaks of the Romans and all of them that got carried away and all that thing back there. The saints of God didn't. The saints of God didn't have any part in those kind of things. So then, worldliness is sin. How do you agree to that? Sin, my brother and sister. Therefore, as the watchman of God, I warn you against those things. Come out from among the world and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So then, we are not of the world, and the world doesn't love us. The world loves its own, but it doesn't love us because we are not of the world. The world hates us because we're not of the world. I have no time for the world. Somebody said, I just longed to see my son be a real baseball player, a real football player. How foolish you are, old man. How foolish you are to kill your son. How foolish you are. Somebody said, I just longed to see my daughter get a good education and be a secretary somewhere in some office up there and do this and that. How foolish you are. I long to see my sons and daughters serve God, to be holy and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And preserve their souls unto eternal life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have no desire to see my children excel in this world in anything that would be detrimental to their soul and cause them to lose their soul. So then, to be worldly is to be sinful. To be worldly is to be sinful. And I say again, so many churches have set up their little standards that if you haven't robbed a bank, if you haven't killed somebody, you know, then you're not guilty of iniquity. Though you might dress with a miniskirt, you might pattern paint like the devil, you might have your face that looks like some kind of freak where you smeared so much powder on it and so much paint on it. But they say there's nothing wrong with that. It's all by faith. All by faith, the preacher says. Just have enough faith to come over here and give me your money and you'll be all right. The liar. Let me tell you something. Did you know I read an article in the paper the other day? And now, I noticed in this article that this woman, I believe it was, when she goes to teacher class, the first thing she does, she paints up like a clown. And I believe she paints the rest of them. Isn't that right, Brother Tarrant? Don't she paint the rest of them up like a clown? So then the class is painted up like a clown. And they all go into the Sunday school or into their lesson or routine, whatever it is, looking like a bunch of freaks. And then, of course, I read where another one, where they have a little different thing. They have a complete striptease act in the service. They say that's more thrilling. The world has come into the church. Did you know that? The world hasn't got into the church of the living God. There's not one saint of God that's ever been spotted by the world. The Bible said he keepeth himself and that evil one toucheth him not. But the world has gotten into the church world. out there, those churches, they've made such an allowance until it's almost unbelievable. I don't mean this wrong, because I am thankful for everything that an evangelist ever done. I'm thankful for the things that Billy Graham done in telling about the gospel. Paul said whether they preach the gospel for a contention or to have a big ministry or to have a following or to get money, whatever. He said, I herein rejoice because the gospel is being preached. I rejoice over the fact that God has put the word around the world through men like Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and some of the other great ones. But I want you to know that when those men make allowance for the world, God will bring them into the judgment for that. And those people will die and go to hell that they've told will go to heaven. Those people that are living worldly that came up to the altar and said, Billy Graham, I accept God, it doesn't mean anymore than if you throw a bag of peanuts out the window. Unless that person is converted over to holiness and get away from worldliness and serve God, they'll die and go to hell. They can believe all they want to that has nothing to do with it. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I believe that we're saved by faith. Them people got faith. You can't prove to me they got faith. You can't prove to God they got faith. You mean to tell me because they come up there and say, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that's faith? The Bible said faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And the Bible said we're saved by faith. And the Bible tells us to forsake the world and the evils of the world. The world tells us to withdraw from the things of the world. That's what the word says. And faith in that word, we're told by the writer that they that believe the word, obey the word. That your faith is manifested by the things that you do. So them people that stand there and say, I accept the Lord Jesus, that don't mean nothing. That don't mean no more if they never spoke it. You believe that's right? That's right. That's not faith. See, faith is honoring and obeying Christ. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, the Bible said if they call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. All right, what do we do with the scripture where it said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. What are we going to do with that scripture? Line upon line and precept upon precept, it said if they endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Somebody said, well, if they call on the name of the Lord Jesus, they've endured to the end. Where do you get that? What kind of endurance is that? Let me tell you, it takes something that's called endurance. What have they got to endure against? Say, well, they've got to endure the blasphemy of the world out there. You mean to tell me if I drank a little booze with Elvis Presley, if he was living, and I go out here and go in bathing with John Wayne and whoever it is, and do the things of the world, and I frolic and nip a little bit on the side and dress out and go to the parties, I'm enduring the harshness of the sinners. I ain't enduring nothing. I'm in the same mud hole they're in. There's no harshness about it. If the world rubs elbows with the banker and with the dentist and all the big shots uptown and all the other people and get out there in their frolics and parties and different things like Jimmy Carter had going up here a few days ago to raise money, every one of them's in the hog pen. And every one of them will go to hell for it. Just like Jimmy Carter, they rate him as the third most influential person in the world when it comes to religion. But it's obvious Jimmy's on his way to hell. The Bible said a child's known by his doing. You can't nip on the bottle and do the things of the world and go to heaven. The watchmen of the walls are liars. True watchmen of the walls don't do that. The Bible said they're dumb dogs that cannot bark. They won't tell the people the truth because they're afraid to scold them, afraid to upset the apple cart, they're afraid to lose some of the apples. Isn't that right? But one of these days, they're going to stand there. I'm going to stand there with them. Remember that. Someday, I'll stand there with Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and all of the rest of them. I'll stand before the God of heaven and earth. I'll stand there. Someday, I'll stand there. Somebody said, well, God will put you in hell. I'll tell you what, he'll have to. God will have to put me into hell. If God accepts what they've taught about the gospel, he'll have to put me in hell. Because I'll be standing there as a witness and a testimony against what they said about it. They haven't told the people the truth about it. Hundreds and millions of people have come to the altar. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you don't believe any of them people were saved? I certainly do believe some of them were saved. Some of them came up there and learned about the Lord Jesus in that the gospel was preached for whatever purpose it was preached for. And then they went back home, and finally God got a hold to their heart, and they turned away from their evil ways and turned away from the world and got down in holiness and joined up with Christian people and began to endure and go on to the things of God. You say, well, what about the rest? They'll all go to hell. Every person that does not live a holy life will go to hell. Somebody say, you really believe that? I really believe that with all my heart. Worldliness is sin. So then you don't have to rob a bank. You don't have to kill somebody. You don't have to be a murderer. All you've got to do is just be worldly. Just love that television set and want to sit there and watch the things of the world. Just love your romance books. Love your novels. Your excitement in the fiction writings of foolish people of the world. And see if you don't die and go to hell. Some of you at Little Bethlehem are guilty of that. You take these old foolish novels and you stick them around and you keep them around. You're feeding your mind out of the garbage can. Amen. You can say amen or oh me. That's true. The devil's getting at you through it, and that's why some of you are having so much trouble. This book like Run Baby Run was as rotten as it could be. David Wilkerson writing such a book, they ought not let him put it on the market. Nothing but filth in it. Just about every book he's published has been filthy. Somebody said, Brother Pike, don't you know he talked about the Word? So did Jesus when he said, cast yourself down from here, from this mountain, Jesus. Cast yourself down. Nothing won't harm you. That was the Word of God. Satan could have wrote a book there, but he waited to write it in our day, didn't he? That's right. Run, baby, run. He decided he'd write it that way. How do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. Books like that don't magnify God. They don't lift up God. That's a sly, cunning way that Satan's got to get into the church and get the people's minds. When you read that book, you don't get excited about Christ in that book. You get excited over Run, Baby, Run. You get excited over the switchblade. You get excited over something that beats somebody's brains out. Nicky Cruz was exciting when he beat people's brains out and cut them up. But since Nicky Cruz got to be a preacher, not very exciting. You love Jesus? So then God doesn't want you messing with that kind of thing. Everything is becoming contaminated and filthy, even the Bible. Did you know that? Somebody said, look out now, preacher. They've actually taken filthy, evil pictures and inserted it in the Bible. The devil has infiltrated the Bible. Not only that, but the Bible said that the Holy Word teaches that they've changed the Word of God into a lie. They've not only infiltrated it, but translated it and changed it so much till they've changed it into a lie. Not even letting it mean what God said in the beginning. Tell you right now, somebody said, well, this is the Holy Bible. You wouldn't dare tear nothing out of the Holy Bible. That rotten, evil, naked picture, I'll rip it out. You ever rip one out? I have. The devil stuck it in there. God didn't put it in there. Some carnal-minded person that wanted to make it more exciting. It wasn't exciting out yonder to the world. He couldn't sell enough of them. He wanted to make it exciting to the world. Like what they call the Living Bible, a bunch of trash. I picked up one of them in some kind of a motel or whatever. It's trashy, filled with trash. I tell you what, I favor the King James Version. Hallelujah. I've read it from cover to cover. And there's a lot of good things about Jesus. It magnifies Jesus. You know what's wrong with the church? They want to get exciting. It's not exciting enough, you know. They need a race driver coming to their church. They need a couple of doctors and a couple of lawyers, you know. Amen. Few policemen. A governor. A movie star. And then they're excited. The movie star will have a program today, and the dentist will have one tomorrow, and the preacher will get around by and by to take up the offering. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now, I tell you what, it's like the Bible said, they have turned it into a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. They've drove the Word of God out of it. They've drove the people out of it that love God, and they've changed it into made it a money-changing thing where Jesus popped the whip and turned over the tables, rejected the whole thing. And God's little group has been pressed out and pressed together in places like Little Bethlehem around the nation and around the world. But hallelujah! Like the song said, my day shall come. One of these days, hallelujah. My day's coming. Your day's coming. If you love God, your day's coming. Oh, hallelujah. And what a time that's going to be. I don't want the world. Do you want the world? If I'd have wanted the world, I'd stayed in the world. I had a chance to stay in the world. Didn't you stay in the world? Didn't you stay out there? Didn't you learn what it was all about? I don't want the world. I hate the world. The Bible said if you hate this life for my sake, you'll gain your life. If you love television and you love the things of this world and the evil, abased iniquity of this world, Jesus said you seek to save your life, you'll lose your life. But he that denieth those things and saveth his life unto eternal life, God will reward him with eternal life. Oh, that makes me feel good, Roger. Glory to God, I feel good. See, we have opportunity. How do you know we got an opportunity? Oh, watchman on the wall, what of the night? Hallelujah. What of the night, watchman on the wall? Can you see anything? Oh, glory to God. When we warn you that the sword is coming, get out of the way of the sword. That angel drawed that sword back. And Balaam didn't have enough reasoning to get out of the way of that thing. But I tell you what, that old donkey had enough reasoning. That old donkey, he didn't have religion, but he had good common sense that God had given him as a donkey. He had donkey sense. And even a donkey knows better than to rebel against God. That's one of the most stubborn things they are. You know, that's some reproof, ain't it? That Balaam was more stubborn than a donkey. That just shows you where a man's living, don't it? When a man gets more stubborn than a donkey, that's terrible. I tell you, it's one thing for a man to preach to a donkey. It's another thing for a donkey to preach to a man. Isn't that right? Balaam got so beside himself, he didn't even know that that animal was talking to him. And he said, what are you doing? The donkey said, trying to save your life. What a something, ain't it? A donkey preaching to a prophet. That'll be some text. But anyway, I want to warn the people. I'm going to try to warn the people and tell them to the best of my ability. See, worldliness is iniquity. If you turn from your old worldliness and you serve God, God will forgive your sins. But if you turn from your righteousness after that you've understood the things of God and you continue on in the world, God will kill you. You know how the people say, I don't believe it. God would kill anybody, Brother Pike. Where do you get that? If I went out here and I slew James, somebody would say, Brother Pike slew that man, wouldn't he? The Bible said in one place, like when Cain killed Abel, and different places, the Bible said God met him in the way and slew him. Said, beware you forget God, lest I tear you into pieces, because God kills and God makes alive. Is that right? I don't want him slaying me, do you? Hallelujah. I want to be friends. Somebody made the statement the other day. They didn't worry about God, you know, meeting them on every corner and hitting them and taking advantage of them because they done wrong. Well, I tell you what, I got news for you. You better wake up and start worrying. Because the Bible said, I'm angry with the wicked every day. Not one day that goes by if you're worldly, but what he isn't angry with you. And he'll pursue you till he makes you perish from the face of the earth. You're not going to spring up in eternal life on the other side. You can be sure of that. When your pilgrimage is finished here, that'll be the end of you. You've loved the world. You've loved the things of the world. You went the way of the world. You wanted to do the things of the world. Compromise. Let me tell you this, you men and women alike. When you don't have enough backbone to stand up to your daughters and your sons and your children and your friends and your neighbors and tell them that you're not going to be partakers of their iniquity, do you think God's going to save you? Say, well, I'm just an easygoing good person. I'm just a good neighbor. Everybody minds their business. If they want me to sit in and watch a little television with them, I don't want to be different. I do. I want to be different. I don't want to be rude and not think a lot of me. I don't want any fellowship with them. I want to be so rude that they might know that I stand for God and don't have any fellowship with them. The Bible said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I want to reprove them. I want to have a backbone and stand up for God and say, nope, I one time done things like that, but I'm clean and I'm holy. I'm a Christian. And they'll say, you don't mean you're one of them too? I say, yep, I'm one of them. The song says, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Well, I never thought it would happen to you, but it did. And I'm so happy. I'm so glad. And then they'll say, good day. And they'll be gone. Ain't you glad you're Christian? But oh, I'll tell you what, when you get to the judgment, when the death angel reaches down to get you, and that thing reaches down and those evil clutches reaches down to get you, and the voice rings out over there and say, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. That's happy days. That's happy days. That's happy days. Glory to God. You don't belong to Satan. You belong to God. Don't you feel Him? Oh, hallelujah. All right. So if you've been doing wrong, get straightened out. He said, he forgive everything you ever done. He'll take it all away. Set you up right and everything will be fine. But don't be changing. Don't be going back to it. Don't mess with them that's given to change. It comes over here today and goes over there tomorrow. Eat from the table of God today and try to eat from the table of devils tomorrow. You can't do that. Make up your mind once and for all. Get God in your heart and stand for God and believe in righteousness. And you got it. You got it. All right, let's stand together. A good, simple, down-to-earth message will help you find your way. And if you will take the simplicity of the gospel and listen to it, just take the simple, down-to-earth words that we said to you, apply them to your heart, and do what's right, you'll grow bigger and stronger than trees. You'll be a real Christian. And you'll be able to make it. Watch the words of your lips. Don't be a gossiper. Don't backbite. Don't talk about your neighbor. Don't do that. See, your tongue will get you in trouble. The man that can bridle his tongue, how many of you know the Bible said he's a perfect man? The man that can bridle his tongue, he's a perfect man. All of your trouble is caused by your tongue. Isn't that right? And usually what you hear is what your tongue usually feeds on. Isn't that right? So then, stay out of hearing distance of that which is wrong. Appreciate Kenny. He was talking to me today, Brother Kenny Bundy. Told me, said, Brother Pike, I want to get out here and do something for Little Bethlehem. Said, I just don't feel like I've done nothing. He said, I want to get out here and do something for Little Bethlehem. Isn't that wonderful? I appreciate Kenny. He's had pretty rough go of it. And he was a little slow about getting his bearings, but I understand a few days ago he stood up and told some of them, they was talking about Little Bethlehem and different things, and he just told them in a loving way, not mean, that he felt like God was in the place and the people loved God. And as far as he was concerned, in so many words from what I heard, that he wasn't interested in going that route and talking about it, that they wasn't wise to do it to saints. All right, it's surprising to know who believes and who don't believe, ain't it? Sometimes we judge one way, but God judges the right way. So then, our tongue causes us more problems, folks, than anything else. If any man seem to be religious among you and bridleth not his tongue, this man's religion is in vain. So, let's be careful what we say. And to be careful what we say, the better way to do that is to be careful what we hear. They sang that little song sometime, Brother Taylor sings it to the children. Be careful, little hands, what you let me do. Be careful, little ears, what you let me hear. You know, be careful, little tongue, what you let me say. Be careful, little feet, where you take me to. The monks has got a little saying, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Somebody say, my, but that's a bunch of monks. I know that, but if they live up that to that, they're some good monks. I'll tell you. Anybody that refused to see anything wrong and hear anything wrong and say anything wrong is a good person. You better believe it. The Bible said, shun the very appearance of evil. It goes deeper than just seeing, hearing, and speaking. See, it goes deeper than that. The Bible said, think no evil. Charity thinketh no evil. Isn't that right? Think no evil. Get way down there. Get everything right. Oh, it's sweet like honey. It really is. Sweet like honey. You love Jesus? Oh, it's so sweet and rich to me. God is so good. Let's sing a little chorus together. I want to say again, I appreciate you. I really do from the bottom of my heart. I love you and I appreciate you and I want to help you. But I need your help too. I need your help. I need you to stand by me. You know, Moses over there, Gary, he had somebody to hold his hands up. And the Bible said as long as they held his hands up, Joshua and them was winning the battle. But when they let the arms down, then the enemy prevailed. And I need you to help hold my hands up. I need some help. I'm not asking you to help me financially. God promised to meet all my needs. But I'm asking you to pray for me. Pray for me. Paul said, pray for me that doors will be open to me, that I can reach the world with the gospel. You pray for me. Don't worry about the financial end of it. God promised to meet that. See, that's his department. I will supply all of your needs. But you pray. The Bible tells us to pray that God will grant repentance unto life to them that are without. See, pray for your mother. Pray for your daddy. Don't you love your mother and daddy enough to pray for them? My, if you don't love your daddy and mother enough to pray for them, you must not have any love for them at all. Love your brothers and sisters enough to pray for them. Just going over eating a bowl of turkey with them, that don't mean you love them. Running over to mama's every few days, that don't prove no love. You can get to be a burden. I've heard my mom say, or heard of us saying, is sometimes she'd appreciate if some of them stay at home sometimes and give her a little rest. Running over and see them every day, that don't mean you love them. But do something for them. I'm glad to have mom in service tonight. She don't get up as often as she used to, but I'm so thankful to have her here with us. I love my mom very much. Glad to have Betty's mother with us. Very wonderful woman. Hard working woman. All of her life. Very precious person. I love her very much. I'm glad to have her here with us in the services. Glad to have your mothers and daddies come time to time. Some of them's come as far as California. Glad to have your sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, your loved ones. Pray for them. While you can, pray for them, pray for them. Did you know the time's going to be over? Before long, you're not going to be able to pray for them. So you need to pray for them. While you've got a chance to pray for them, pray for them. Spend a little time. You'll be sorry if you don't. You'll be sorry. Once they're placed in the coffin, it's too late then. It's too late then. You follow me? It's too late then. Once that little boy or girl or loved one is put in the coffin, it's too late to do anything for them then. It's all over then. Train them now. Tell them about Jesus. You love Jesus? Pray for your loved ones. Pray that God will save them so that when they lay down in the casket and you have to walk by and look on their dead face, you can say, well, there's one thing about it. Dad got upset with me and Mom got upset with me when I told them about the Bible. And I told them what Jesus said and I told them what they had to do to be ready to meet him. They got upset at me, but they finally come around and met the requirements. And now they've gone to sleep in Jesus. They'll wait for me on the other side. But if you don't have enough boldness to tell them now and stand up and you just love them, you know, there's like a bear. I said the other day, some people are like a bear. They love you to death. Isn't that right? You just love your mother to death. See, she's such a precious thing. I just can't rebuke her. I can't say nothing to her. I couldn't say nothing to hurt her feeling for nothing in the world. You're like a bear. You're loving her to death. You don't think enough of her to tell her about Jesus and tell her what she's got to do to be saved, even though it hurts her feelings. You're loving her to death. Someday you'll look at her in the coffin and she'll be dead and in hell, and you'll see her laying there and you'll think, my God, what did I do? And most likely you'll meet her in hell for her to tell you too. Because you let her perish, the blood will be on your hand. To you, she's mother. To God, she's a human being that you had a chance to tell about Jesus. You love the Lord? All right, don't love them like a bear. Love them like Christ loved them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them. I told my old dad. And I first told Dad, it didn't set well with him. But before he went to sleep, he learned to cherish the Jesus that I love so much. I told Mom. He cut across some things that Mom was doing, but she gave them up. Today she loves Jesus. Mom used to dip snuff, and Daddy used to chew tobacco. And my dad, he loved that tobacco, I believe, better than he did his breakfast. He could do without breakfast, but he wanted that chaw tobacco. But I told him, I said, Dad, you're going to have to quit chewing. It ain't like Jesus. Somebody said, well, anybody chewing tobacco is bound to go to hell. But I'm going to tell you something. I said this before. At that particular time, my dad outprayed me. You could get up in the early morning if you spent the night at his house and he'd be out in the barn just to pray anyway. Of course, when he come out, he'd get his chaw tobacco. I said, Daddy, you're going to have to get rid of it. And I said, Mom, you're going to have to get rid of the snuff. And Mom had great faith. But I said, it'll never be effective in God till you get rid of dipping. And they did. My brothers and sisters, some of them, they got upset. Brother Grady Pike, he was in here a little bit ago. He must have slipped out. But I remember Grady told me when I told him about Jesus, he said, oh, you're just dead and don't know it. I said, yeah, Grady, I'm dead and do know it. Grady couldn't understand, you know. He was, thought you ought to have a good time in the world, and he didn't see anything wrong with it. And I told Betty's relatives, I've told her mother, I've told her daddy, I've told her brothers, and I've told the sisters, and they've got upset at me. But I told them, the blood is on them. If they don't repent, come to holiness, the blood will be on their head in the day of judgment. It won't be on mine. I've told the uncles and aunts. I've told mine. I've told my cousins. I've told them. I've told you, my friends, my children in the gospel. I've told you. I know it hurts sometimes, but there'll come a day that you'll be glad. Do you believe that? There'll come a day. I told Brother Gonzalez, but he didn't like it. Brother Gonzalez, he didn't like it at all. He wasn't even going to let me come back in his house. Boy, I tell you, long then it didn't pay to mess with him. I prayed my way in. You take one look at Brother Gonzalez in and tell that you couldn't push your way in, so I just prayed my way in. Prayed my way in. I remember when I got to California, he met me at the door. And of course, Sister Nobby, she didn't think too much of me either, because the Lord had given her a nice brick home and they was doing good, and I was about to tear down everything. But Brother Gonzalez met me at the door, and he wasn't going to let me in. And on the side, they sold papers. His boy sold papers, and happens as it was, they'd throw some wire out in the yard. And you know how children are. They were glad to see my children, and they passed Brother Gonzalez in a trot. And I believe it was Ricky, was it? Ricky took one long leap and hit that wire, and it come all the way through his foot and come out the top. And then the other end went in his foot too. And Brother Al's children's always been close to him. And boy, that tore him up. And that broke down the spirit, and that gave me the password. So I grabbed Rick, and we started to pray and pulled the wire out of his foot. And to show you it was God, he never did have any problem at all, did he, Brother Al? Went right on, put on his shoes, and everything was well. But it was just what I needed to get into the Gonzalez's home. Today, they're standing here victorious in God, having spent years the dry, dusty areas of Mexico, and probably fixing to go back again now to do something for Jesus. A testimony for Christ. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? We sang that for a number of nights here, they that wait upon the Lord. Can we sing that tonight? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew